We continue with our series here on walking by sight versus faith. Does that sound right to you?
No.
Walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now we continue with our study in the church of the firstborn in Hebrews 11:8-10. And Hebrews 11:8-10 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, I understand where Abraham was at the beginning of this. He was settled in with his father and with his nephew. His father had died. And God spoke to Abram, and this is Abram still. He hadn't received the name Abraham yet. And he told him to leave his country, leave his relatives, leave his father's house. And we see that in Genesis 12, verse 1. God says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. We need to understand a few things here. Abraham had no idea where God was going to take him. And he was leaving everything he knew. His wealth, not his wealth, his home, his father, his nephew. But Abraham's faith was such that he would give up all of his comforts. He'd give up the house. He'd give up the relatives. Even leave his country behind because he was called by God to leave. Called by God to leave to an unknown place that God promised would be his inheritance. How hard it is to live by faith and not by sight. Think about that. Think about our lives. If we were asked to just pick up and go, leave everything behind, all your comforts, everything that you were used to. If you're in the military, you know how to do that. But leave everything behind you, with the big exception, you don't even know where the Lord's going to take you. We finally see a comfort zone, and we try and cling to it to ease our troubles, rather than to walk by faith that God fulfills his promises. Those comfort zones, nice routines, Sunday mornings you go to church, Sunday evenings you go to Bible study, Monday morning you go to work, you come home, you have a house, you do all those things. Those are comforts. That's a comfort zone. To walk by faith means you're willing to give that up and move on with what the Lord has. Doesn't mean you have to give everything up, by the way. We should cling to Abram's example by having faith in God's promises. God promises us that we will enter into the heavenly promised land. Excuse me. And we go to John 3, verses 13 to 18. A lot of scriptures tonight, but they tell the story. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want you to hear, these are God's promises here. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These are the promises that God has made to us. These are the promises we're to have faith in. These are the promises we're to hold dear to our hearts, not walking by sight, but walking by faith that God will fulfill his promises. And I want you to realize that to get to the promised land, we must walk. Not sit, not stand, not lie down. We must walk to get to the promised land. This means that faith is an action verb. I remember that years ago in church, one of the preachers that taught. Faith is an action verb. Okay? It's not a noun. It's a verb. It means you have to do something. In this case, it's walk by faith. The walk by faith means that we trust our God and trust in our God to lead us where He wants us to be. Big emphasis on the where He wants us to be. Not to lead us where we want to go. To lead us where He wants us to be. And we look around on this walk, and what do we see? We see all the perils. We see danger. We see pharaohs that want our possessions. We see strange peoples with ungodly customs. Abraham walked by faith, not by sight. We are strangers and travelers in this world. And we're going to get to that other word, sojourners, but I'm going to use travelers right now so everybody knows what I'm talking about. We are not in our own country. Do you realize that? We are not in our own country. It's like we were overseas and we're in somebody else's country, under somebody else's law, with somebody else's religion and somebody else's customs. We are not in our own country. We do not have permanent homes, even when we dwell in our earthly promised land. Where we dwell right now is not permanent. This is temporary. We are not home yet. Remember that way back when? We are not home yet. We live in temporary shelters waiting for the heavenly rooms that our Lord Jesus has prepared for us. And like Abraham, we are fellow heirs of the same promise. When you read these words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament about Abraham, pay attention to the word. It says we are fellow heirs. God does not grant heirship from parent to child. We are fellow heirs. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. We are all sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. We dwell with each other on this earth, content to live in our temporary shelters, going where God leads us. We do not need to fret or worry because it is the Lord who is leading us. I can't tell you how many times I worry about things going on. I can't figure out how we're going to get something done. But the Word says, don't fret or worry. It's the Lord who is leading us. He is taking us somewhere. We have but to put our faith and trust in God and then enter into the rest that God desires for us. Do you realize God doesn't desire for us to live in turmoil and to be upset all the time and worry about everything? For 30 years, Ella's been telling me, Dave, you need to enter that rest. All right? I'm telling you again tonight, we need to enter that rest. Have you stopped living by sight in this world? Because that's what prevents you from living in that rest. You look around you and you say, things are out of control. Well, they're not out of control. The Lord God Almighty is in charge. And in order to enter God's rest, we must walk by faith. We must keep our sight looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is our eternal home, the city of God. That's our permanent home, the city of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited that I get to live in the city of God for eternity, because I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That is my hope. That is my stay. Everything. How do you get through the day? You walk by faith, not by sight. This is what we have to be focused on. Our walk in this world is temporary. It is not our home. We do not belong to this world. We are just travelers, pilgrims, on a walk through this world, doing the will of our God. Hebrews 11:13. Now that we've gone through several of these men of faith, from Abel to Noah to Enoch to Abraham, here's what the scripture says. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. In this case, the first words in 11:13, it says, all these. All of these refers to the men of faith spoken of, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. The promises spoken of do not refer to God's promise to Abraham of the earthly promised land. All these died in faith without having received the promises. Abel, Enoch, and Noah did not receive the promise to enter into the earthly promised land. Only Abraham did. So it must be another promise that's being spoken of here. And the promise referred to here is the promise that was given to Adam of a Redeemer that would come. And this will put together, maybe for you, it did for me, some of the scriptures that I always was a little bit wondering where they fit in. Take you to Genesis 3, verse 15. And it says, and I will put enmity, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. We take you to explain some of this a little more. Romans 16, verse 20. And God, and the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And Galatians 3, verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Jesus Christ. Not having received the promise, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance. The prophets did not have Jesus in the New Testament. They didn't have that. They had the promise. They had the promise of a Redeemer, and this was enough for them to carry on in this world. Their faith was in the Lord God Almighty, that He was capable and would deliver unto them His promises. They believed in Him. They trusted in Him. They had faith in Him. And this is what Jesus was saying to the people when He told them of the prophets. More scripture here, Matthew 13, verse 17. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. And then John 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then Hebrews 11, 27, that we will get to someday. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. The prophets believed, and they knew that they were aliens upon this world. They knew that they were here but for a brief transit upon this soil. They knew that God would deliver them unto the heavenly promised land. They knew that there was no hope in the world. They knew their only hope was in the Lord God Almighty's promises. Now apply that to us. We know that God will deliver us to the heavenly promised land. We have no hope in this world. I hope you don't have any hopes left in this world. We know that our only hope is in the Lord God Almighty. And then 1 Chronicles 29:15. For we are sojourners before thee and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no hope. So this is not a new condition. This has been the condition of man. The hope is in the heavenlies through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 39:12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like all my fathers. Okay, that's the earthly. Now let's look at the heavenlies. Our life in the heavenlies, guess what? We're not a stranger. We're not a stranger there. We're not aliens in the heavenlies. We are fellow citizens with the saints, and we are of God's household. Ephesians 2, verse 19, just in case you wondered where that statement came from. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household. We are only aliens in this world. We are not aliens in the heavenlies. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. And then 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. What that's saying there is that our spiritual life battles with our flesh life. That shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But our spiritual nature does battle with our earthly nature, our flesh. We are not aliens in the heavenlies, but we must acknowledge that in the earthly, our flesh will always draw us away from God. That's what our flesh does. Always. It draws us away from God. Our flesh's weaknesses, our desires, our cravings, everything. They drive us away from God. It is the Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, that allows us to accomplish this battle, to win this battle. It is Jesus Christ who makes us righteous before our God. There is no place for self battling against itself. You catch that? There is no place for self battling against itself. Jesus has already done that. The Holy Spirit in us, that's what fights that battle. How do we appropriate that? How do we get that into our lives? By walking by faith. We cannot be holy by ourselves. We have no hope if we are relying on our own powers. It is only in the Spirit of our Lord that we can stand against the prevailing evils of this world. You cannot stand alone. I spent a lot of my life standing alone saying, I can do this. No, I can't. I can't do it. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that allows us to fight the battle against self. We are no different from the prophets while we're in this world. We are strangers and sojourners in this world. This world is not our home. This world is not our country. This world is not our citizenship. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, where God is our God and we are His people. We cannot look at this world and be dismayed. It is not our home. We must look to the heavenlies and realize that that is our home. We cannot fix the ills of this world. It is not our country. It is not our country. We cannot fix the ills of this world. We must walk by faith and accept the fact that our Heavenly Father is in charge and that He has a plan for everyone in the world. Do you know that? Even the jerks and the bad guys. He has a plan for them. Everybody. We must walk by faith and accept that we are saved and made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We need to enter into the rest that God is in control and that we are His servants slash children. We have a lot of roles, between us and our Heavenly Father. The thing that binds us together is love. The Father's love. As children, we are to have implicit trust. That means automatic, unquestioning. We're to have implicit trust and faith that our God can do anything, that our God can do everything. That's the faith we need. That's the walk we should have in this world, that our God can do anything. Hebrews 11, 14 through 16. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Isn't that great? He's prepared a city for us. He really has. We belong to the city of God. God is not ashamed to be called our God. He has prepared a heavenly city for us. Where is thy sting, O death? We don't have a sting with death. We go for eternity into the city of God. I will live eternally in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, and my mouth shall continually sing thy praises. And then finally, 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.